Welcome to the Introspection and Banter podcast. I'm Gabe.
I'm Anthony.
And today
and
we got
tonight
a...
we have our...
Listen, I'm introducing the guest.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. And tonight we have a special guest with us. Fuck you.
My name is Pat.
Hey, Pat. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming on tonight.
So it's spooky season today. Or this month, I should say.
It is.
I have a question for you.
What's that?
What's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite one? So, I think my favorite one might be Blair Witch Project, but one of the most memorable ones for me is probably Silent Hill.
Blair Witch Project and Silent Hill. They're making another one. You know that, right?
Silent Hill or Blair Witch Project?
Silent Hill. I don't know anything about the Blair Witch one.
Gotcha. I did not know that. I did know they released a bunch of stuff about Silent Hill recently.
Well, apparently the only reason why was because they literally, the director was like, I want to make another Silent Hill movie based off the second game. And they're like, you know what? Why don't we just relaunch the franchise?
Yeah, they got a bunch of stuff coming out soon.
Blair Witch was a great film when it came out, though. Or
yes.
Was it called Blair Witch? Or was it called something else?
Pretty sure it was just Blair Witch Project.
Right. And then the second was called, what, The Witch?
Yes. Pat, do you know anything about this film, by the way?
No. I know about Silent Hill a little bit.
It's... Okay. Blair Witch Project was one of the most famous found footage films made in the 90s. So found footage wasn't big yet. And they filmed it, and it's this super eerie movie filmed in the woods with a small crew, and the whole movie is just very suspenseful, and it's like, whoa, these people are just freaking out in the woods.
Yeah, great acting, because a lot of the stuff wasn't actually acting. The director literally gave them a few notes, gave them a few cameras, are like, all right, go out in the woods, and then kept doing like random bullshit to them. Yeah, and here's another thing.
That's really good.
There's like a scene where like they're pissed off because someone destroyed half of the shit in the camp. That wasn't acting. That was literally them being pissed off that they knew that the director like fucked up all their shit. But they stayed in character while they were pissed off. So it was like really fucking good.
I'll have to watch that. That's a really good way to do a movie like that.
You know the best part about that is like there's
Halloween movie.
Yeah. There's also stuff that didn't make it into the film that the director did to them. Like at one point, one of them put on a costume and started running near them in the woods, and they don't actually catch it on camera, but the actors do react to it. So it's like the little monster thing never actually got seen, but was in fact part of like the, I guess, production of it.
Wait, the actors didn't know that was gonna happen?
I think maybe they got maybe a few notes that says you might see something or whatever, but okay. Like they didn't catch it on camera is what I'm saying. It's a genuine, like when you think about it. Like, if you have a camera, you get spooked by something in the woods, are you actually going to point a camera at it, or are you just going to run away?
I think the movie does do it. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean there. And I think the movie does it very well by never showing the witch's face, or, like, any monster.
But the other big thing I think people forget is that Blair Witch also had an interesting marketing campaign, because they pretended like it was an actual found footage. And since this was the early 90s, the early days of the internet, they created like a fake website for it and all that stuff. And we didn't know, like, people, there was a genuine question, like, is this real or not?
Kind of, they set up missing person posters.
At the original premiere, they were giving out missing persons posters.
Wait, did they pay the actors to go into hiding too? Like, was that a thing?
I don't know if that was a thing. I know for Cannibal Holocaust, they did. I don't know if they did for the Blair Witch Project.
Okay. So, Do you guys like found footage films? Because this one's definitely like one of the top tier ones for me.
Yeah. Does Paranormal Activity count as a found footage film, technically?
Yes.
Pseudo.
It's found home surveillance footage.
Yeah.
That's like one of the movies that pops in my head first, and more specifically the first one. I think the first one out of the franchise was the best one. It just really sold the paranormal aspect really well compared to the rest of them, in my opinion. It wasn't overdone or anything.
I think that's the problem with found footage films in general, is that after a while, the market got saturated. Same with, like, Paranormal Activity. After a while, they kept making them. It was just like, can you stop?
Yeah.
Oh, I think there's, like, a bit of a formula to it as well. Like, you don't want to give the audience too much. I think there's just as much of the bare minimum as you can give them so that it's just a very eerie film throughout.
I think one of the biggest issues most people, and why I don't like a lot of paranormal found footage stuff, is because people miss the point of it. Like, the whole point is not making a low-budget film and shaking the camera around for, like, 60 minutes. It's like, the reason why Blair Witch was so great is because it focused a lot on the characters. And, like, we got a glimpse into them, like, some really great acting from them. But a lot of these new films, like, forget that. It's like, it's not about the shaky camera. It's about the fact that we got to see, like, a very personal point of view from, like, these actors. We got to know a lot about them. That's what makes these films better. Paranormal Activity works because we learn a lot from, like, we see it from the perspective of, like, the two people being haunted.
Yeah, I loved that, like, the actors started freaking out on each other. Like, savages. Like, they wanted to kill each other in this film.
Mm-hmm. Actually, isn't that one of the theories in Blair Witch, is that they think that there was no actual Blair Witch, that the two other guys just decided to kill the chick because she was annoying?
I haven't seen that theory, but I believe it. Mm. Or at least one of them's maybe a killer. I can't speak for both. That might be a little unreasonable, although she was annoying them.
Yeah. I mean, she forced them into the woods for like 3 days or something like that.
Yeah. You guys like, so Pat was talking about Paranormal Activity. What do you guys think of, like, ghost videos?
I like watching the ones on YouTube.
You watched a very large amount of ghost videos on YouTube. Both fake and some that are like, yeah, I think this might be real. I've experienced things like that in the past with ghost activity, so I kind of can get a feel for when a video on YouTube is fake or not, for the most part.
Yeah. Even the fake ones are good. They're entertaining. Just make a drinking game out of it.
It's okay if it's fake, as long as, like, it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Yes. I don't like the ones where it's just obvious. It's just a plot twist at the end with some creepy person standing in the background.
The worst ones are so funny, though.
3 a.m. call challenges. Calling Freddy Fazbear at 3 a.m. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's always, like, aimed at kids, too, is, like, the weirdest thing. Oh, speaking of, like, things aimed at kids, you guys have noticed a trend in, like, the indie horror game scene? Where, like, now, like, horror games aimed clearly at a younger audience, like Poppy's Playtime and stuff?
Yeah, it's always stuff like that now. I think Five Nights at Freddy's really kicked that one off.
Yeah, I guess they kind of realize there's a market for it. But, hey, kids like watching horror content. Adults will play it, too, if it's popular enough, I guess. I don't really like the fact that it's all kids' horror, though.
Yeah, it's like always set in some Chuck E. Cheese type location and has to do with children's dolls walking around.
Like, the fun weird thing is, I don't think any of the young kids nowadays remember Chuck E. Cheese, do they?
Well, Chuck E. Cheese is still around. So I don't think it's as popular as it used to be, but I know it's still around.
I guess arcades in general just aren't that popular to begin with.
Yeah, I don't really hear about anybody talking about Chuck E. Cheese nowadays.
This is a little off topic, but do you guys remember the clown chasing in 2016?
Bruh, I remember you guys letting me walk outside the fucking apartment while there was a clown outside and not telling me anything while I was throwing out trash.
Don't lump me in there, alright?
I was just one person on standby there.
Back in our dorm, I noticed a bunch of people just, like, standing out in the hallway, staring outside the glass doors. I was like, that's weird. Walked past them, with trash because, you know, got to throw out the trash from the apartment. I walk out through the parking lot in the middle of the night, throw trash in the trash bin, just walk back, nothing about it. As I'm going back upstairs, I was like, bro, there was a clown out there. I'm like, and you guys just let me walk outside like it was nothing?
To be fair, Gabe, I didn't believe them.
Oh, my God. I know. That's like the, that's one of the weird things I found out there. There's other time during Halloween, I've just sworn there was a guy like standing out my window that I just wasn't paying attention to. Like, I guess
you're
he really.
Second floor.
Yeah, I'm on second floor, but I'm seeing like right below the window, just staring up. Some figure dressed in black.
That's where my room was.
Ah, well, you were screwed then, baby. Like, he was just standing there. Like, I kept looking. Like, I would stop looking after a bit, and then I would look in my peripheral, and I would see him, and I just wasn't giving him any attention because I figured it was just a prank, but could have been someone of nefarious purpose.
I am curious, though, if you guys have more personal stories about, like, weird encounters like that. We could start with Pat, since you just went, Gabe. I'm sure you might have another, though.
Close encounter with a human being like that? But I've had some...
It doesn't have... I don't know, just anything weird. Like, it doesn't have to be paranormal, but some, I don't know, creepy shit, I guess.
I have one that... I have multiple, but one of the ones that stands out to me is when I was younger, when I lived near Pittsburgh still, it was really late at night. I was dreaming asleep, and I dreamt that somebody was knocking at our front door. I looked out the window, and there's just a figure standing on the street. And then that's when I woke up. I woke up from the dream, looked at my alarm clock. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I heard a knock at my door. And that was probably the most scared I have ever been in my life, because eventually I got back to sleep. And then I asked my parents if they, for some reason, knocked at my door at 2 a.m. And they said no. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what that thing was, but it was probably one the most scared I've ever been in my own house. As I heard the knock, and all I did was do the whole thing kids do. They pull the blanket over their covers and face towards the wall and just hope to fall back asleep. I was scared to leave the bed.
It's such a dumb thing that we do, bro.
I was probably about 12 or 13.
The blankets, they'll keep me safe.
Like, the worst part about it is I didn't want to make a sound, because I, at that time, I shared a room with my stepbrother, and I didn't want to wake him up because I didn't want whatever was knocking on my door to hear.
Wow. That would be funny if it was actually your stepbrother just, like, bumping into shit.
That was, I've never been so frightened in my own house until that point.
Came from inside the house. You got anything spooky, Anthony?
Okay, I'll give you guys a choice, because I'm not sure which one I should talk about. The time when I was a little kid and I talked to a ghost. The time me and my friends went to a graveyard and my one friend claims he saw a demon. Or this weird-ass CD that I found at my school that I brought home and was like, Gabe, this looks like some creepy shit.
Well, it was funny. I know now I know what it is, but at the time I didn't know what it was.
Real quick thing about this CD, like, it looks so... Like, it had, like, some psychedelic weird-ass pictures on them. What was it? Was it like some sort of experimental music?
It was one of Tool's albums.
It
was one of Tool's albums.
Oh, okay.
I only recognize the artwork now because of the memes, but like one day I was just scrolling, I was like, yo, that's a CD we found on campus that one time. So they're just Tool's album. At least the cover was Tool's albums. We never actually played the CD, so we don't know what was on it.
Yeah, if we can get like a link or something for this, because it looks so eerie to find. Just randomly.
Mm-hmm. I already know about the CD one since I was there. Maybe the other one since I don't know about it.
The one when I was a little kid or the cemetery?
I also know about the cemetery one, so let's do the one when you were a kid.
Oh, okay. All right. So I was like, let's go with somewhere between 2 and 4 years old. And I was home with my dad and my mom. And my brother may or may not have been born. Like I said, I was 2 or 4. And I went up the stairs to my room, except, according to my mom and dad, I walked down the stairs and said, "Mom, I just talked to your dad. He's a really nice guy. He said hi." And my grandfather died when I was 2 years old. Now, if you ask me, I do think I have, like, a weird-ass memory of one time walking up some stairs. Remember a guy sitting on the stairs. I fell asleep, and I woke back up on the stairs. But these could be just made-up thoughts. I also don't believe in ghosts, so...
Oh man, I was seeing beyond, talking to the dead men.
Doc, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't remember anything either from this so-called conversation we had.
Bruh. Wish I had a cool story like that. I think the scariest thing that ever happened to me was my sleep paralysis episode. Or one of them.
Get that all the time.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, the worst part is, like, I know, like, in the moment, I know it's sleep paralysis, so I try to do the thing that they tell you to do, which is, you know, wiggle fingers and toes, because that slowly, like, will help your body regain control of itself again. But even if you know that sleep paralysis, you still get that feeling of impending dread. I don't think I've ever seen something physical. But I always get the feeling there's, like, some dark presence, like, right behind me every time forming. Yeah. And I'm always, like, struggling, like, immediately to try to, like, regain control of my body again before, like, anything else, like, pops out. It's weird.
First time it happened to me, I was, like, so intimidated that there was somebody, like, looking over me in my bed. And so, like, I tried, like, wrenching my body to throw myself out of my bed.
Mine has just been getting progressively worse ever since it started happening to me. It started out when I was in high school as me just being asleep, my eyes are closed, I'm like face down in bed and I just can't move. And it progressively has been getting worse, especially recently, where I'm just having full-on hallucinations and really bad paranoia when it happens.
Holy cow, like, how often does it happen?
Thankfully, it only happens, like, once every couple of months.
Okay.
Okay. That's not as bad as... Hey, I was really thinking, like, is this, like, a weekly thing for you?
Happens every day.
Last time it happened, like, 3 months ago, and the time before that, it was closer to 5. It happens once every few months or so. It's not a fun experience. I usually can tell, but since it's been getting progressively worse, the horror aspect of it overrides the part of my logic brain that tells me that this is just sleep paralysis. Because my experience with sleep paralysis when it first started was just what I described earlier. I'm just awake in bed, but I can't open my eyes or move. The hallucinations and stuff didn't start happening until about 2 or 3 years ago.
Or the episodes lasting longer?
They're a little bit longer, but it's about the same as they've always been.
I was going to say, if they were getting longer, I would chalk it up to maybe it's like the more time you spend in that state, that's what's causing the more hallucinations to show up.
Yeah, the worst one when the hallucinations started, last living situation I was in, they had a dog. And for whatever reason, my sleep paralysis kicked in. The dog was outside of my door, like moving around. And my brain kicked that into overdrive and pretty much made it sound like something was scratching every inch of my walls in my room. Like it was just scratching noises everywhere. And I was just cold and I was frightened.
Rats in the walls.
Damn.
Yeah, like my brain heard that noise of the sound of the dog walking around and just kicked it into overdrive.
It was like it's everywhere.
Yeah, it was legitimately just like that. And I could have swore something was breathing down my neck too.
him. You see a specialist yet?
No.
I think you do. See a specialist or an exorcist, one of the two.
I've also does sound cooler.
So on top of sleep paralysis, I've also had sleep paralysis nightmares, which are 10 times worse.
Okay, I'm happy I don't have sleep issues as bad as you, Pat. I used to have insomnia, but damn.
Please, Pat, get some help.
It's not fun. The nightmares are the worst ones because you're not awake. Like, you are asleep, but it feels you can't move. You still can't move. You can't do anything.
Aye.
The worst is trying to scream and nothing coming out of your mouth. That's the best one because I haven't had that. But when it happens, I try to yell for somebody and it's literally like no voice. It's just air comes out of my throat. And when that kind of thing happens in that nightmare, that is like maximum fear.
Yeah, I think you need an exorcist.
Yeah. Skip the specialist, go straight to the exorcist. Yo, speaking of exorcist, you know
cleanse
what finally,
this man.
You know it just got released? You guys remember those isometric games? Faith? The Faith games?
No.
Oh, you guys never played the Faith
sounds
game?
Familiar.
It's those weird games where you play as a priest from the Vatican. I guess the full name's Faith the Unholy Trinity. But like it's all like isometric. The game's isometric. Mm-hmm. The audio is like from like old NES era, like 2-bit, 8-bit type shit. But it, like the exorcist comes to exorcise this girl. At least that's in the first game. I forget what the second two games are about, but there's like 3 chapters. And it like we've been waiting for like the full release of like all 3 for like a good while now, and it finally got released this month.
I'll have to check it out. I can't say I've ever heard of it. It sounds familiar, but I'm not bringing up any image or anything.
I'm going to send you guys an image, see if you guys recognize like this style.
It looks like one of those Five Nights at Freddy's cutscenes.
Yeah, it's the same
type of like the mini games.
It's the same type of like style, but isometric, I believe, is the name that someone said it was.
Oh, yeah. This is more familiar.
Yeah, isometric is like a top. Isometric's like a top view of an area, and I think it's like at an angle. I think Bastion is isometric, if you played that.
Fear Effect Sedna, as well as isometric, I believe. Just thought I'd put that out there, because we're talking about spooky shit, and I got the notification for that release, like, yesterday or today, I remember. Speaking of, like, exorcists, right? You know what's, like, I think, mm-hmm. like, a really great horror film?
What?
The Exorcist.
I watched it a while ago. You like it a lot?
I like it a lot. It's a great film. I love the voice for the Pazuzu possessing the little girl.
It is definitely cool. Don't they get sucked into a TV?
I think you're thinking of Poltergeist.
Oh, fuck. Alright. Poltergeist is a very good film, man.
Poltergeist is also a very good film.
Oh, I've seen The Conjuring way too many times.
You know what's funny? I don't think I've ever seen the, oh, you know what? No. Scratch that. I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the other two. Isn't it like a multiverse now? Or like the Llorona is part of it as well? Or are they going to make a movie for The Crooked Man? And The Nun is also part of The Conjuring or something like that?
I think so. You definitely, I think you're right.
I don't know. The show just left it at the first and second film, probably.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Not everything needs to copy Marvel. It's like Avengers universe or whatever.
Dude, I would love to see, like, the last Conjuring. And, like, they try to get, like, some Thanos-like villain and shit.
You know what's funny is that Universal also tried to do, like, their own shared universe as well.
Yeah.
They were going to kickstart it with Tom Cruise's Mummy, which is why Dr. Jekyll, or whatever his fucking name, Hyde or whatever, is in that film, because they were going to also make a movie with Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, but the Mummy did so poorly that they scrapped the whole project, which sucks because that's actually something I would like to see, like all the Universal monsters like coming together in one fucking one shared universe.
Do you play any other horror games or just spooky games or anything?
Like recently?
Yeah. Or is there anything you're interested in? I knew Silent Hill's supposed to come out next year.
Oh, yeah. New Alien movie game coming out. It's going to be a tactical RPG, I think.
Like,
what is it called? Aliens Dark Descent or something like that. I'm very excited for that one. Are you looking forward to anything?
Resident Evil, I think, has DLC coming out soon.
Hmm.
But there's nothing I can think of right off the top of my head.
What about you, Pat?
Resident Evil, pretty much, the first thing that comes to mind.
Hmm.
Now that you mentioned a new Alien game, I'm now interested in that. I didn't know they were making a new one.
Yeah. I know a lot of people were a little upset that it wasn't going to be like another shooter like Colonial Marines was. This one's going to be more, I guess, closer to XCOM. I think it's like one of the, was what people were comparing it to. But we haven't seen a lot of footage yet, only like a little bit.
But past games I've played is I've played quite a number of the Resident Evil. Outlast is a big one. Everyone loves Outlast.
Hmm.
Yeah, I played Outlast too.
I think Outlast was pretty fun.
One time, my brother played Outlast, and in the background, I played the Resident Evil 7 soundtrack. So you know, like that eerie music when you're like being chased. I had that playing in the background as he's playing Outlast, and he had no idea. So he's just walking in a normal section, and it's just like, no.
He just takes off.
Yeah, I recommend that as a prank to your friends if you ever are able to do that, because they're just like, what the hell's going on?
They're looking around, they see nothing, but they hear the music, like, oh no. It's an invisible beast.
Gabe, I'm curious. Can you talk a little bit about Cosmic Horror?
Oh, I love me some Cosmic Horror. Are you guys familiar with H.P. Lovecraft?
I know a little bit of his work. I haven't read anything yet. I know he's terrible at dialogue.
I guess you could say that.
I was going to say, I'll send you a link to something if you want that's kind of bad.
Yeah, let's just say Lovecraft wasn't popular in his time. He was popular like after he died.
Yeah,
it's essentially Lovecraftian horror or cosmic horror, if you want to call it that. Is essentially the horror of like the unknowable and incomprehensible things from the cosmos. And like in Lovecraft's case, he wrote a lot about like these otherworldly entities, like Cthulhu or whatnot, that we just could not grasp. That if we even tried to, would probably go insane. Yeah, the idea is the notion that the universe exists like is like indifferent to our own existence. Like these creatures that he writes about aren't even evil. They just don't give a shit about humanity because humanity is like so inconsequential that the rest of the universe just doesn't really like care about them. Kind of like how, you know, we walk. We don't know how many ants we step on while we walk.
Yeah.
It's probably the same. That's how they see us, essentially.
It's definitely wild that H.P. Lovecraft was able to think of such a concept. Like, I can't even comprehend that idea. Well, until he came up with something like that. I definitely never thought about it myself.
There's also that level of like, hey, maybe since we can't comprehend it, maybe we shouldn't even try. Because when we try to, it always ends up poorly for us.
What stories do you recommend by Lovecraft?
Specifically for Cosmic Horror or Lovecraft in general?
What do you just like? I'm gonna check him out at some point.
I'll say this: my favorite works from Lovecraft are actually his dark fantasy ones, which would be the Dream Cycle, Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, being the biggest one from those. There are a collection of stories that take place in the Dreamlands, like this dream world that Lovecraft created. It's very weird. Definitely still has elements of dark of Lovecraftian horror in it, but it's mostly like a dark fantasy.
I like dark fantasy. Berserk.
The Color Out of Space is another one. I would recommend also watching the new film that came out with Nicolas Cage, if you don't want to read. essentially it's about a family. One day, like an ash meteorite strikes their farm, and like
that's slowly... the one with the terrible dialogue. There's a point where the farmer, I think he's dying, and he starts talking, right? But it's a monologue, and it doesn't make any sense. He's just like, the color of outer space. Like, it's, this is not shit somebody says when they die.
No. Here's the thing, Lovecraft was an introvert and, like, did not have a lot of human contact, clearly. So he clearly doesn't know how humans work.
It sounds so
special
fake.
Special mind.
I will say that some people do find him a little verbose. So that's how you pronounce the word. A little hard to read, but I've never had that issue. Yeah. But definitely, I guess the other big one to recommend would be Call of Cthulhu, obviously, because that's what the whole Cthulhu mythos is named after.
Yeah.
That's like his most famous creation would be Cthulhu. Although, personally, I think Yogg-Sothoth is a lot more interesting. Or Nyarlathotep.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give a... See if I can check those out. I know some of his work. I haven't read anything. I just know of some of them, like The Alchemist, At the Mountains of Madness.
Rats in the Walls is another spicy one that people talk about for, not for good reasons, but if you know, you know.
Berserk, they sort of had the cosmic horror element as well, because in the series, there's the God Hand, which are these, like, higher beings that look over the humans, and they have no, like, they don't care about them at all.
Like, and they're not, like, an antagonistic threat, though. They're more or less, like, there, right?
You know, no, they're definitely more antagonistic in Berserk.
Ah, okay.
I was gonna say. Like... Yeah, I don't know, actually. Yeah, no, they're antagonistic. They're assholes.
They're assholes? Like, they go out of their way to be assholes?
It's only sometimes, because, like, other times, they really don't do anything. Sometimes they are... Okay, in the beginning, they were assholes. They're not assholes anymore. They just don't... They don't care.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the thing with, like, in cosmic horror, it's, like, they... It's not like they're even... Like, sometimes they don't even, like... acknowledge humanity sometimes. Like, Cthulhu wakes up and calls Cthulhu, not because he's trying to, like, do anything evil. It's just he's just waking up. Then he goes back to sleep because the stars aren't right. Goes back to sleep, and yet he's just, his appearance has caused, like, madness amongst the people who witness his rising, which I think is scarier. Like, compared, like, it's one thing if something wants to kill you. It's another thing if something doesn't even, like, give a shit about you, yet is still capable of causing you so much harm.
That's true. There any other spooky stories you like?
Scarier, in my opinion, too.
What happened, Pat?
I said that one's a little scarier, in my opinion, too.
Right.
If something just doesn't care about you, but if it does something that could cause you harm, it just doesn't. It just doesn't.
At least
care.
It acknowledges
it could
you.
Probably do more damage. I think like carelessness. Can cause more damage than being deliberate.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good, like, fucking other writers, too, for cosmic horror other than Lovecraft that came about. I've always been great with, like, the yellow mythos side of things. Like, things involving, like, Hastur and Carcosa is also pretty good. You guys remember when RPG Maker horror games were a thing?
I do, yeah.
You remember that, like, I think every, like, weeb went, like, a period in their life where all they played were RPG Maker games, which is House, Misao, Owl Oni.
I guess I missed out.
Nah, you definitely didn't. You probably just didn't realize they were RPG Maker games.
Oh, okay.
You most definitely probably
played a few that I didn't realize either.
Yeah. Like, when I realized, like, about RPG Maker and I went back, I was like, bro, these games are clearly RPG Maker games. I just never realized it.
I probably have them.
Yeah. Witch's House is an interesting one. It's, you are a young girl going into the woods, see the house, it's, like, haunted and shit. You go through everything. And there's, like, a massive twist. Future Gave here.
Just wanted to let you know that in this next section, I get into a lot of spoilers for Witch's House. So if you want to skip those, I suggest you jump over to 3543.
That you have to, if you have to grab like a knife, I think, in the house before you leave, or you're being chased by like the final monster, which is like the witch with no legs and no eyes, right? And you run out the house, and then the twist ending is that you are not a little girl. You are the witch who is possessing the body of the little girl, and that the witch chasing you is actually the original little girl.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like the
Shyamalan twist.
That was the big twist. And then like the worst part is like your father, the girl's father, comes, sees the monster witch creature, and then kills it, not realizing that's his child. And you go home with the girl's father, replacing her entirely. It's just like, bruh.
That's messed up stuff.
It's a great game, though.
You think horror is hard to do well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's very hard to do well.
I don't think anyone gives it a chance anymore, especially in the Hollywood industry, business.
No, not really.
Yeah, horror nowadays is like, throw some cheap, make a cheap film. Make it PG-13 so the kids watch it. That's it. That's all horror is in the mainstream now.
I have a lot of respect for horror creators that try very well to create an atmosphere that takes you out of thinking this is fake.
The best part about Silent Hill was that it wasn't like something that jumped. Like the scares weren't like all jump scares for you. It was the atmosphere would build up as it you were was. Playing.
I was thinking of the movie. Yeah, when you were playing, yes, the movie was so freaky. I watched it when I was like 10 or something. Should not have been watching it.
Why were you watching?
I don't know. It was like a new movie, and my cousin was watching it, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll watch this." I love watching movies or shows, like anything, like where the characters are starting to go crazy, and you're wondering, like, is this even real?
You know what I like? I don't know if it counts as horror. You guys ever watch Perfect Blue?
That was my exact thought when I said that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Perfect Blue, like, I guess halfway through the film, you don't even know what's actually real and what's, like, going on in the show within the movie. Because the way how they edit it and the way how it's, like, shown to you, like, they don't really, like, show you, like, what the fuck is actually going on. It's like, what the fuck? You're at, like, you, and the best part is you don't even realize it until like towards the end when they cap it off with like some guy saying, "Cut, that's a wrap." It's like implying that, yeah, what you just saw was mostly part of like a TV program they were filming.
Perfect Blue is a great movie.
Great psychological.
What is it, a 90s anime? Psychological horror is pretty good.
It's a 90s anime movie. I don't know when the book came out. Have you watched it, Pat?
I have not.
I highly recommend it. Very good film.
I can check it out. I don't really watch too many movies these days, but
I feel
if you recommend it, I'll look for it.
I don't end up watching a lot of mainstream movies anymore because I'm not really a big fan of Hollywood at the moment. But you know what? You know who makes a lot of good horror projects? These unfiction creators on the internet. Currently, I'm going through the archives for 10 Tapes. Have you guys heard of that one?
Oh,
no.
10 Tapes started off on TikTok, out of all places. We're supposed to this dude in Sweden found a note, like, right outside his window. Looked at it, found some coordinates, led him to one videotape. And from then on, he started, like, having to break these clues in trying to try to get the other tapes. The thing is, since it's an ARG, right, people are heavily involved in, like, the code cracking aspect of it. Like, we'll get a code, we'll try to start to decipher it, things like that. Right now, I'm on tape 4-ish. So he's trying to break into a safe to, like, get the fourth tape, or what we assume is the fourth tape. I have no idea if it's actually in there. I haven't gone that far yet, but it's really interesting. Try to think.
Nice. There.
Yeah. I mean, I know, Anthony, you watch a lot of, like, those unfiction type stories on the internet. Have you watched anything good recently?
Okay, The Back Rooms. I watched some of those on, like, Wendigoon did a video, and I watched the documentary on it. So did Some Ordinary Gamers.
Backrooms. I don't like what happened to the backrooms.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I liked it when it was niche and there wasn't lore to it.
Bro, the backroom started off as just some guy on 4chan. Like, it was like, I think, one thread on 4chan X board talking about no clipping out of reality.
And yeah, someone brought it up, is honestly like, fucking room. Stupid what they've done with it.
Yeah, it's like, now like,
it's basically...
It's SCP nowadays.
Yes,
that's all it is.
It's SCP.
Oh my god, yes. That's actually exactly what it is now.
SCP was great. Funny enough, also started on 4chan on the X board. And then, like, people just kept adding to it, and like people kept adding stupid shit to it. Like, the best part about these like little like commutative writing projects is also its worst detriment, is that anyone can write it, and that's the problem. Yeah. Anyone can write in it, and they'll write the dumbest shit. They're like, oh, Smilers appear in the dark parts of the back rooms. It's like, what the fuck is going on? It's like level 49. I'm like, when the fuck were levels involved in this shit? It's just supposed to be some like yellow offices.
That's what I hate about it, too.
So weird.
And that's the big one that I've seen recently. I don't know what else. I've seen some crazy shit about, like, the missing 411. Which I thought that's for a different episode, definitely.
That's more of a true crime type of thing, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys read Frankenstein? Or do you guys know much about Frankenstein?
Yep.
Frankenstein, yes.
That book, I think it is one of the worst nightmares somebody could have. Honestly, crazy. And the movies don't do it justice.
They never do.
Oh, no. They don't.
Fucking, you know who had a really interesting take on Frankenstein? You remember Penny Dreadful, Anthony?
Yeah,
Penny Dreadful was this show. I don't know if you've watched it, Pat, but it was this show that took place like kind of Victorian era-ish. And it made a lot of references to Gothic fiction. One of the characters in it was Dr. Frankenstein, who was obsessed with creating more life. And then it's revealed in one episode, he finally creates like a new like person called Prometheus. And we're like, oh, I guess that's Frankenstein's monster. At the end of the episode, it's revealed that no, it's not, because he apparently had tried to create human life before, and he abandoned it, and that's Frankenstein's monster, and he's like pissed off. And I'm like, yeah, that's an interesting take on him, which is a closer,
dude,
more
how
accurate.
The story goes.
Yeah, I know, it's an accurate representation, but the take I'm getting at is like,
okay,
he instead of chasing him all the way to like Antarctica, he's like living in London, was it, as a stagehand. And his whole, like, it's the same thing as a story. He wants, like, a romantic partner. What a refreshing take, other than the green fucking monster with bolts in his ears.
Dude, the bolts in the ears was the stupidest thing when I actually read the book. And, like, they don't mention exactly how he knew what this... He didn't even... It wasn't explicitly electricity he used. They just said he found the secret to life... And it was implied it required some galvanism and electricity, but they don't go into detail.
So one of the reasons why the bolt thing is such a big thing is because when Frankenstein was getting production adaptations, like on theater and whatnot, we were just discovering the effect of electricity on like muscles and whatnot. And we realized that, muscles tend to tense and move when electricity is introduced to them. So they're like, oh, so clearly... we need electricity to create life or some shit like that. And so they kind of like took some artistic license with it. And when they showed when he was creating the monster, they would show the electrical lightning storm and all the other bullshit. I think the movie also involved, like, was the one to like really show off the whole, like, raise it up during the lightning storm to actually like have him come to life and some shit like that too.
I think the movie also kind of dumbs down the monster.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The monster's dumbed down, like, a lot of portrayals. He's this intelligent, like, being. Like, he's ugly, but he speaks, and he's rather intelligent.
He has emotions. He's read 3 books. He speaks English. He has sympathy. and all that.
He's just pissed.
Yeah. And the person that created him was Victor, Dr. Frankenstein, because he decided he wanted to be God. And it really ruins Victor.
Pat, do you watch any unfiction type story, storytelling projects on online?
Really, I kind of dabbled in stuff like SCP and the Backrooms briefly, but I don't really keep up with any of it.
Yeah, SCP, you're not missing much in those two, regarding those two, I should say.
I remember it used to be like. It used to be a lot better than what I've seen of it recently, because I'll see something that's just SCP and it's something completely random. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's just an OC disguised as an SCP.
Yeah.
I've seen that a lot.
Unfortunately, it's what the state of these things have become.
Yeah, keep your OCs to, like, Sonic or something.
Like, I'm pretty sure I've seen anime character SCPs at this point, and it's just like, why?
Yeah. Why? I don't know, the community is so fucking weird.
I'm sure the original ones were probably really good.
It's, you know, it's funny, it's the same with, like, creepypasta, too. Or creepypasta, say. They've also gone really dumb.
Dude, there were some good ones. Pen Pal?
Pen Pal's great. Was Pen Pal a creepypasta, or was that a No Sleep story?
What's the difference?
Creepypastas used to be like these things that stories that people would just copy and paste into like random creepy forms.
Then it was probably a No Sleep because it was like 6 hours long, like something like 4 hours or some crap.
Yeah, that's more of a No Sleep
story, yeah.
Creepy. No Sleep is another one that used to be really good and has fallen off.
Oh yeah, I haven't kept up with it in a long time, so I don't.
It's not anywhere near as good as it used to be.
Damn. I guess the state of writing horror fiction itself online has kind of just like dropped down.
Yeah.
Fell off, as the kids these days say. I miss the old days.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I haven't seen too many aliens in horror recently either.
Nothing good, at least. Everything's a copy of, like, either a Xenomorph or something.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Like, can you think of any original alien designs?
I feel like Xenomorph is kind of a hard one to top.
The Thing was the other one, I would say. Because it's just a bunch of cells. Like, it's easy on, like, the budget department because it's just disguising itself as a human, but like that concept itself is like, you don't see that. I don't think it's been copied much on like the Xenomorph either. I guess was Slither, was that a bunch of alien slugs or is that like just a monster? I don't remember. Have you guys seen Slither?
I have not.
I have. I don't remember exactly which one it was either though.
Yeah. It might have been alien slugs, but I guess that would technically also be original, but or better yet, do you guys remember that movie based off of what's his fucking name? Stephen King's book where the aliens go up your ass?
What the fuck? No.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Morgan Freeman is in it. And it's literally one of the things he says is like they call him the shit weasels that go up the back door, I think. It's so weird.
Like, that sounds like a comedy, a horror comedy to me.
Oh, man.
Did you watch It? I liked It.
Technically, It is like a cosmic creature as well, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thought it was kind of stupid, like the concepts and shit, but good movie.
They had to eliminate some of the more mythology part of aspect of it because they didn't have a chance to really get into it.
The turtle,
yeah.
The cosmic turtle. Cosmic I didn't watch turtle. Part two.
I watched it. It's okay. Yeah. I enjoyed the little nods to like the horror. There's like a scene that straight up is the Thing. Like they copy the scene with the head from the Thing. Like the same line and everything.
All right, Gabe, do we got any other spooky things to discuss tonight? I think we're coming down on time.
Yeah. I don't think we got much. I do want to say, definitely as a recommendation, go read Dream Quest of Unknown Kadoff.
Gosh, I don't know if there's anything I want to recommend. Watch Angel's Egg. That's a pretty good anime. And kind of spooky. There's a lot we didn't get to. Edgar Allan Poe would have been cool to bring up.
Gothic horror, I guess. Early American gothic horror.
Yeah. Pat, do you want to add anything?
I wanted to ask you, what do you think, like, in a game or a movie, what do you think captures an intense atmosphere the best? Like,
Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice is pretty good. Play that game in the dark with headphones on.
It's psychological horror, right?
Yeah, it's psychological because I think the girl might have schizophrenia or something. Don't completely remember. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she has schizophrenia or some sort of mental disorder. And she thinks that, like, the gods are, like, actually real and that she's traveling to Helheim, but it's not real at all, if I remember correctly.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'd give it a check out.
I think I saw you stream it once, Anthony, but I don't think I've seen much of it.
Well, yeah, that's a game, so maybe not everyone has 20 hours to spend on it. It's a short game, like, definitely like 12 or so hours, 12 to 20. Perfect Blue, check that out. That is pretty good. Angel's Egg, check that out too. Those are probably some of my favorite, Pat. Silent Hill, that one too.
Yeah, Silent Hill is a given.
Yeah, that one is given. Angel's Egg, I've throw that in there already. It's like eerie and so like, what the fuck's going on? There's only 20 lines of dialogue in this movie.
Wait, 20 lines?
Yes.
Huh. Never counted.
Well, I'm guessing. I don't know exactly. Either way, it's a very like no talking film. I think we're all good then on our discussion. Maybe we can continue it next year, next Halloween.
Yeah. By then we will have uploaded one episode.
Thanks for coming on tonight, Pat. It was good having you.
Thanks for inviting me. It was nice being here. Very very good experience.
Yeah. If we need a guest, we'll definitely hit you up again. Thanks for the viewers, listeners. I don't know that. Thanks for making it all the way to the end. Check out our YouTube, Introspection Banter. Our email, intro.banter@gmail.com. If you got anything to follow us up with, we are on all platforms: Apple, Spotify, everything.
I've been Gabe.
I've been Anthony.
That guy's been Pat, probably.
Have a good night.